Coming up next, I'm going to tell you why teachers are quitting their jobs. I've heard from them, and you'll hear next. Then my policy suggestions on how to fix the public school system, and then your calls, and then a gripping video from a teacher who quit. All right, folks, here we go. We are here at the Ken Colbert Show to help you win at work and in life. If you're winning at work, you got a great chance at winning at life. And the converse is true. If life is falling apart, well, it's going to be hard to win at work. If work is falling apart, it's going to be hard to win at life. Let's go, go, go. This is one of the biggest issues in our country today, and it is a massive crisis that is producing a lot of meaninglessness and wandering. You know it. When I say things like our public school system is broken, it is creating test takers, not pathfinders, everybody responds to that with tremendous emotion. And what that means is underneath that statement is a whole host of societal issues. Distraction that leads to addiction. A lack of purpose that leads to crisis in our relationships. People going to a college with the promise of a magical piece of paper that only chains them to debt for decades. These are the headlines. Those are the biggies. I could keep going. So why am I leading off today talking about why teachers are quitting their jobs? Because we have a four-alarm fire, and we the people can actually do something about it. I'll give you some policy ideas in just a moment, but let me tell you what teachers are telling me. Over the last 2 weeks, I've had the opportunity to engage with teachers on social media, at Ken Coleman on Instagram, if you want to follow me there. We're having a discussion there. We're continuing to have it. And then I got on the phone, I got on the Zoom, if you will, and I talked to teachers. Let's set the scene. By the way, in our next segment, you don't want to miss this. We have a TikTok of a teacher who is chronicling her emotions and then her resignation. And it's going to bring all this together. You do not want to miss this. 3 million member National Education Association, this is the nation's largest teachers union, reported that there are now 389,000 fewer school staff than there were pre-pandemic. This is including K through 12 and higher education. Now, why does this matter? Because these are the men and women who want to instruct your children, who want to prepare your children. But they have increasingly been hamstrung from that very pure mission. We see it over and over on social media, in news stories. We'll cover it on our next segment, a direct story, direct statements being covered by the media. And it's basically, if I were to summarize it, it was, I used to love teaching, but I can't take the stress anymore. I can't take the burnout anymore. Wait, do you see the emotional journey in this video we're going to show? So I got on Zoom calls with teachers, and I'm going to give you three basic breakdowns of what's wrong with the system specifically based on what they told me. I listened, I wrote it down, and I've actually got my chicken scratch right here. I want people to see this. These are my real notes right here. And I always get this. It drives Nathan nuts. But that's my pencil. There it is right there. All right? And I'm about ready to reveal this little section right here. You ready? Here we go. This is what teachers told me. It is about dollars and cents, not common sense. It's about money, not about preparing kids for the future. What do I mean? You ready for this? This is data that's a year old, and it's really hard to pull this data. Federal government and states are very careful about hiding this data. What is the data? How much they're spending on standardized tests. You ready for this? The latest number? All states in the United States combined are spending over $1.7 billion on standardized tests. Now, ready for this? I had multiple teachers tell me. One told me, I verified it with all of them. There are three or four big companies. Stay tuned for this. By the way, Alex, I'm going after these companies. I'm just telling you now, we're going to name them. There's about three or four major companies that are creating these standardized tests. They got political connections. Oh, I'm going to name names. Not today. Not today. You ready for this? The people that are creating the standardized tests that are supposedly measuring your kids aren't even teachers. They're not teachers. They're not teachers. By the way, quick aside to see what you people think out there. Why did we get away from the good old-fashioned report card as a good measuring tool? Why do we have to take these standardized tests? I'll tell you why. Politics are involved because money is involved. These companies have lobbied politicians and the NEA, and they've said, yes, this is a great way for us to politically prove our value and our tax dollars and let politicians get credit for educating our children for the future. They don't give a crap. But the money talks. Folks, we're talking about a $1 billion industry, standardized test. Number two, it's about production versus instruction. This is straight from teachers. Listen to this. That's to wake everybody up at home. They are teaching for the tests, not the test in the actual subject. They're teaching for the standardized test. Parents know I'm right. You've seen the stress on your little ones when they come home from elementary school, freaking out over a standardized test. Not the actual tests in their subject matter. Teachers are saying, Ken, we spend the majority of our time teaching for the standardized test to make the politicians feel good, the school board feel good. That's production, not instruction. Keep them moving. Let's go. Let's keep showing good test scores. It's not about instruction. Transaction versus education. Ready for this? This one blew me away. What does this one mean? Teachers told me they increasingly are all about being customer service agents for the parents. Kid gets a bad grade, pissed off parent shows up, scares the principal. Principal goes to the teacher, puts pressure on the teacher to get a better grade. You know why? Because of too many freaking helicopter parents. Yes, I'm talking to some of you. You're all hung up on being able to brag about your kids instead of preparing your kids. Here's what we want. We want our kids to feel good, not do good. Now, coming up next, I'm going to tell you my policy changes, and we break this story down more in the news, and we show you a video of a quitting teacher that will absolutely break your heart. All right, quick snapshot of where we are. Last year really gave a lot of people a very natural bridge to wonder, is there more in my work? And the answer is a lot of people, millions said yes. Maybe this is the year for those of you who haven't finally made it, so you've been listening to the show, watching the show, and you're going, okay, it's time to put my toe out there. ZipRecruiter can help. They can send you the right jobs, and you can apply to most of them with one click. And they may even send you a job that you would have never found on your own. Sign up for free today on ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I'm staying on this topic. Why are teachers quitting at record numbers? Why are principals quitting? What is causing all the burnout? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to our nation, our future? That's what we're breaking down. All right. So I told you what teachers told me. Quick review. They said it's about dollars and cents, not common sense. It's all about money, getting federal dollars. It's about selling standardized achievement tests. I told you it was a $1.7 billion industry and growing. That number is probably closer to $2 billion now, all combined, states paying for this. It's a for-profit companies that are creating these achievement tests, folks, not teachers. Standardized tests are a bunch of BS, total garbage. Now, we also said it's production versus instruction. They are teaching solely for every kid or most kids to hit a certain average class-wide on these standardized tests. Then we said it's about transaction, not education. Customer service, making parents feel good, making parents happy. I had one teacher tell me, Ken, we're expected to be counselors for kids that are struggling with stuff we're not trained to help with. Babysitters, counselors, customer service agents. That's not what teaching is. All right, that's what the teacher told me. So I'm going to just give you some high-level policy changes. I can't create policy, but I'll tell you what you, the people, can do. We could come together in a groundswell, and let me tell you something, what politicians will do. If politicians feel like they're going to lose their job, they'll start paying attention, or they'll quit and we can put somebody else better in there. So what do we do? Number one, we got to remove standardized testing. Somebody tell me why that's a controversial idea, if you really think about it. Let's actually teach the subject. History, science, math, grammar. I don't give a crap what the subject is, but let's at least teach that. And then we send the assessment home. The actual assessment is the report card. Here's how Johnny's doing. He's got a B+. Why do I need a standardized test? By the way, I've been doing more research on this. You realize that the average public school student takes over 110 standardized tests from kindergarten through 12th grade? Somebody out there tell me why that makes sense. We are creating test takers, not pathfinders. Can I get an amen in the chat room? Can I get a thumbs up for somebody who freaking is pissed off enough to say, yes, this is a problem? All right, so my policy, standardized tests, gone. How about, what if schools could spend 1.7, what if states collectively could spend $1.7 billion? Wait a second, maybe on benefits for teachers and salary increases on teachers? What about opportunities for kids to learn outside of the classroom? What about reducing class sizes? Hey, how much is it going to cost for a kid not to be in school 6 hours a day? Who thinks that children were designed by the creator of the universe to sit still for 6 hours? I'm 47. I can't sit still for 2 minutes. I mean, am I the only one that sees the absurdity here, and yet we allow it to happen? Why?
Well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Bull. So standardized tests gone. That's policy number one. Now I got new money, and we're going to spend money on creating a creative environment for our kids. Creative, experiential environment. We are going to spend money on adapting our education process to a strengths-based learning. You heard me right. If a kid is obviously not very gifted in math, after we teach him what we think is the core basic math. By the way, I ran this by some teachers. This is really going to freak some people out. I said, does a kid really, who's like a young Ken Coleman Jr., that's me, who sucks in math, does that kid need to take algebra? And all four teachers went, no. Now, some of you out there think you're smarter than me, and by the way, you're not. But you people who think you're smarter than me, I know what you're thinking. You're going, oh, Ken, you're a little too fired up. Algebra teaches critical thinking. No, it doesn't. It's not critical thinking. I can teach you critical thinking that doesn't even involve a math problem. By the way, for all you geniuses out there that think that math word problems promote critical thinking, try a Common Core word problem. Not only does it not promote critical thinking, it creates confusing thinking. You don't know what the crap they're talking about. It's like mental gymnastics. And you know what else I would do? I would shorten the classroom day. You ready for this? 3 hours max. And I would increase playtime. We have got to start valuing functional, strategic playtime. Not just we're going to go play, you know, freeze tag, but strategic and functional play where critical thinking and creative thinking can come together. I'll tell you what else I would change. We got to get the power back from politicians and put it in the hands of principals and school boards. Because see, if school boards screw up, you can vote those clowns out. But principals won't protect teachers because principals have been threatened. I'm not knocking on principals. Principals are doing what they have to do to survive. The system has created so much fear that we aren't allowing our principals and administrators of schools to actually lead. All right, let's get to it in the news. All right, quick story. And by the way, you don't want to miss this. We got a TikTok coming up. I think we're going to have time to get this. I'm going to fly through this because I want you to watch all of this stuff I'm talking about come to life in a real raw video from a teacher. Here's a headline, Business Insider. One ex-teacher in Memphis said she had 194 students during virtual classes because a colleague quit. And then she became stressed out. She couldn't even talk about it without crying. There was a recent study on teachers and why they're quitting. And here are the big feelings. They feel they are disrespected by kids. They can't do anything about the behaviors. They feel micromanaged by principals and parents. They feel overwhelmed by the expectations. By the way, I had one teacher tell me the expectation that I am supposed to be a counselor for a kid who's going through unspeakable stuff in their personal life. Ken, it is a pressure that I can't deal with. Unsupported by their administrators. Tough. Sorry your colleague quit. Sorry you got more kids in virtual. Sorry you got to create a lesson plan for virtual. Sorry. You got to do it. They barely have time. They barely have time to actually grade papers. I was told by one teacher, because of all of the paperwork and all of the preparation that we have to do just to be able to teach and create dual lesson plans for online teaching, I can barely grade papers. I can't instruct the way I want to instruct. Everything's being questioned. We have people on the right, conservatives. We have people on the left, liberals, that are trying to mandate what is taught, what is not taught in the classroom. I am not stepping into that hornet's nest, but I am saying that that is a big part of what's going on, and we've got to get politics out of the classroom. It is not a place for opinion. Now, they could get that from their wackadoodle professor in college. You want to send them to some lefty university and some guy tell them that we evolved from monkeys? Great. Send them there. It's your right to be as liberal or as conservative as you want to be. I really don't care. I'm not going to try to convert you one way or the other. But K through 12, do we need crap like that? No, we don't. We don't need political opinion on all manner of issues. Just teach them the basics. Teach them how to think, for crying out loud. Stop teaching them what to believe and how to vote. Oh, there we go. All right. I ran out of time, but here's the good news. Another segment. Wait till you see this TikTok and we get to your calls. Coming up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I am feeling it today. I'm going to get to the chat room. A couple of comments I got to get to. And I'm going to handle them really quick. And then I want to show you a TikTok video from a teacher, a young teacher. And she's documenting her emotions and then She documents the day she resigns, and it's going to bring all this together. But I gotta jump into something. Salvatore Campbell said, "Evolution is political." Yeah, there it is. I said it. Because here's the deal. Let me just say this. So let me freak out some conservatives too. Teaching creationism gets political. Creationism versus evolution, I'm going to just tell you, it's political. Here's why. Because now it's about which voter demographic and which parent is going to scream the loudest. What I'm saying is, if you want to teach a kid basic science, and I believe in creationism, let me just be very clear, but you don't need to get into that for basic scientific method stuff that we need to teach our kids. They don't need as much science as you think they do. So there you go. It is a political issue now. And by the way, parents, teach your kids about evolution or creationism. That's your job, not the school. Because here's what I do know, Alex, that a creationist or a evolutionist, whichever side of the aisle you fall on, guess what? We all agree that pouring vinegar in a Plato volcano is pretty cool. We all agree in the scientific method. We all agree that. So teach them that. All right. One more I got to get to. Jonathan P., playing a little devil's advocate, which I appreciate. He says, "Ken, these standardized tests help make college admissions more efficient. But I think interviewing and essay writing is better for admission." So he, on one hand, plays devil's advocate, and he helps me swat that one back across the net. Nice job, Jonathan P. Your comment is right. It doesn't make college admissions more efficient for the sake of, does a kid pick the right college and the right degree? It makes it efficient for the college entrance people. That's it. It's a numbers game. Oh, we had this many students join us last year that had this as an SAT or higher. It's all marketing BS. So you're right, but who does it make it efficient for? The system. This is why standardized tests are absolutely 100% worthless. They're worthless. I wouldn't wipe my butt with them. How about that? That's what I think of standardized tests. Absolutely worthless. By the way, you should use Charmin anyway, right, Joe? All right. All right, so here's the deal. I want you to see this TikTok. Now, I want you to watch as I show this. Don't show it yet. But I want you to watch the range of emotions, and I want you to really look for the change in this young lady's physiological makeup as she reveals that she resigned from teaching. Not being a garbage truck driver. Teaching. Play it.
This entire school year, I have just been miserable. I have been so unhappy. It's unfair to me, and it's unfair to the students in my class.
I don't want to go into school. This is awful. I don't know how it's going to get any better. I had to make a really challenging decision, but I know it's for the best. I'm going to resign today. Oh my God.
Look at that.
I'm so nervous.
It's unbelievable.
I did it. Life's too short to be stuck.
Now that's sad. As happy as she is at the end of that, that's sad. She's in her classroom beaming with joy. Beaming with joy because she's getting out. Now listen, if teaching's not in your sweet spot, that's why I do what I do. I'll help you get out, and no shame in your game. But I don't know her story. But this is sad, whether it's in her sweet spot or not. I would rather her go, hey, you know what? I did teaching for a while. It wasn't for me, and so I'm moving on to something else. Really excited about chasing my dream. That's a TikTok that I'm going, bravo. I didn't see that. What I saw was somebody who's straight up miserable. And I saw her overwhelmed. And then I saw her light as a feather because she's leaving the grind of being a teacher. What is wrong with this picture? Now, some of you go, Ken, it's never going to change. I disagree. We can do something about it. We must do something about it. Now, let me tell you something. We're talking about this. We're going to be covering this on the show. Let me tell you, if we, the people, don't do something about it, public education is going to change at the higher ed level dramatically. I don't know how long K through 12 will stay in this kind of current rut. But private institutions like Google, Ramsey Solutions, folks, we had a great response to our project management course that I'm teaching with our CTO, Chief Technology Officer, Brendan Wojcicki. We're training people to get project management jobs. They don't need a degree for this. Let me tell you something. Google just announced, we'll report on this more in detail in a coming show, over $100 million project where they're going to be training people straight out of high school or adults who don't even need to darken the door of a college. I'm telling you, the private sector is not evil, but they're just going, this is broken. Let's just train people for what we need. We can't rely on something, something state. That's all they're doing. That's, by the way, that's all business ever does. They solve problems. And so they go, all right, we can bang our heads against the wall, but they're not going to do that. So what do? We either sit on our hands or we continue to fight other ways. And Ramsey Solutions is going to be there. We're going to be there for you. Parents, I'm working on stuff right now. If you need help, hey, Ken, how do I help my kid survive and thrive in the public school matrix so that they can come out of school with a very clear direction? Well, we've got From Paycheck to Purpose. We've got the assessment that you can take as a parent, the Get Clear Career Assessment at KenColeman.com. You can take it and begin to understand the language and understand the path and begin to help your kids see it. That's a starter. Ramsey Academy, we're just getting ramped up. But you can also join me in this and say, Ken's right. Amen. I'm going to share today's show. I'm going to share his social media post. And we're going to let Ken take the arrows. And we'll just stand behind him and clap. That's fine. I don't mind. We got to do something. Because here's, now watch. When I see data that has been consistent for the last 8 years, that the disengagement rate in American employees, this is disengaged, that means they're showing up to work, but they're not actively engaged, it's been at 68 to 70% for the last 8 years. And we wonder why the Great Resignation, which is hurtling towards 20 million people, have changed jobs in the last 6 months. It's because they're looking, they're wandering, and they're going, I'm not engaged, and life is too freaking short to be miserable or bored or overlooked or overworked. I'm not gonna do it anymore. And so they said, I'm out. I'm tired of being treated like I'm just a commodity. That's why people are leaving. And sadly, they have left for a better paycheck that feels really good at first. And then that wears off. And they realize they're still miserable. They're still bored. They're still overworked. They're still overlooked. And all of this comes from our education system where we teach people just to answer questions. We pound curiosity out of them. We rob them of their wonder. And then we wonder, why are so many people disengaged? That's why. They forgot who they are, or they never knew who they were. All right, your call's coming up next. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're going to get right to the phones. Appreciate you being with us. Alexandra joins us in San Jose, California. Alexandra, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
It's all my pleasure. What's going on today?
So I'm in a situation at work. I'm being bullied And I reported it to my manager already, but after I had reported it to her, I found out from two colleagues of mine that they're actually friends. Due to this, I lost trust in my manager. And I just really need your help. Honestly, I'm looking for more jobs. I have a couple that I have an interview for. But right now, I just really need your help.
Yeah. What's happening? What are you comfortable to tell me as it relates to the bullying? What's happening?
So this person micromanages me. She's not a manager. She cuts me off. She interrupts me a lot. And I just don't feel like I'm being appreciated. I feel like I'm being undervalued at work. I am quite new to the company.
How long you been there?
I've only been there, it's been a couple months.
Okay, and the person that's bullying you is not your leader?
She is not, no.
And how long ago did you tell your leader about the bullying?
I told her it's been like, I think a couple weeks now.
And nothing happened? Nothing happened?
And she hasn't given me an update. I work in retail and I have 7 years of experience working in retail.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, the other people that I've worked for, they give me an update as soon as possible after they talk with the person.
So if you're in retail, is your manager, has your manager been with you too, the person who's bullying you and yourself at the same time on the floor at the same time?
She sometimes will come on the floor if we ever, you know, call her for help, if we need like an override for a return or whatever.
Yeah.
But, she usually is in her office or she's somehow on the floor, but she's never in the same area as we are.
Okay. So let me dive into something. And I don't want you to hear that I don't understand your emotions, but can I also tell you that I don't think this is what I would call something you can't recover from, and I would call this mild bullying, because a coworker who has no power over you is taking on the form of a bully. But the way we handle bullies is we stand up to bullies and we go, "Hey, back off!" Bully pushes you, you push bully. And what you've told me is that she micromanages you, and she's not your leader, which means she's making obnoxious suggestions. She's actually not micromanaging you. She can't micromanage you because she's not your manager. Are you with me?
Yes.
She has zero power, at least positionally. She does have power over you psychologically right now. Is it a she? I guess I shouldn't say she. I didn't know. Is it a she or a he?
Yeah, it's a woman.
Okay. She has psychological power over you right now, and I'm hoping to take that back right here, right now. But she has no positional power over you. True or false?
True.
So the next time she tells you how to do something, you either have one or two responses. You can either give her the silent treatment, which really drives control freaks nuts. Or you can just look at her and go, "You know what? It occurs to me I've let you push me around like a schoolyard bully with all of your suggestions and interruptions, and you have no positional power over me, and so you're going to stop. And if you don't stop, it doesn't matter because I'm not listening to you. I'm no longer going to listen to anything you have to say unless you're going to be healthy and nice." Now, you can personalize that however you want to say that.
I have tried to tell her that. There was one day where she did snap at me in front of customers, a long line of customers. It was the day right before President's Day, actually.
Okay.
And she snapped at me in front of customers. Customer was doing a return.
Yeah.
And she snapped at me, and there was also a long line of customers behind the person that I was taking care of. And I tried to tell her, like, "You cannot speak to me that way. That's not okay." And she would not let me talk. She just kept cutting me off. She kept interrupting me.
Okay, so my point is, she's a stronger personality than you, so you have to have strength in ignoring her. And here's what you should do the next time she does it in front of customers. You need to go apologize to the customer. Go, "I'm so sorry for Roseanne's name. Some reason I chose Roseanne. Feels like this woman's a Roseanne." Okay? "And I'm sorry for her behavior." And ignore her. She hears you say it. You just go, "I apologize. She's having a rough day. I'm not sure what's going on." And keep dealing with the customer. You have got to take the power back. Now, here's the deal. This is all for the temporary. You need to find someplace else that's a much better environment. But until then, take your power back. Ignore her. Ignore her altogether. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in your life. That last call is fascinating to me. It's fascinating because I can't believe leaders allow that kind of crap to go on, but it happens. It's cronyism. It's my friend, so I'm not going to deal with it. And that was Alexandria, you know, just saying, hey, I reported it, feel bullied. Leaders not doing anything about it because I found out they're friends. But you got to take back some power, and people that are difficult and pushy, they don't like when anybody reciprocates what they do, difficult and pushy. So be difficult and pushy just to them and watch it stop. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Terry in Barrington, New Hampshire. Terry, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I love your show.
Thank you, Terry.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, especially of your crinkling paper and your dramatic in the news music.
Oh, well, thank you. Let's do, I can't do in the news, but I can do a paper crinkle anytime it's asked.
Thank you so much.
You bet. What's up today?
I've been an elementary school teacher for 22 years, and I've basically loved every minute of it. But the last, that was my sweet spot, I'm sure of it, and my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last 2 years, things have just been changing.
Mm-hmm.
There's been changes in my job and some policy decisions by the district that have left me feeling ineffective and frustrated in my job now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seriously considering taking early retirement from teaching and pursue another career.
Okay.
So I did take your Should I Quit My Job quiz, and it said yes, although I may have taken it on a particularly bad day.
Yeah, so, that's okay.
Also, I took your Get Clear assessment, and I got some really good information.
Good.
So what I want to know from you is how to take that information and just really which career should I go for and pursue and kind of use your proximity principle on.
Yeah. Did the purpose statement validate that you were in your sweet spot? I think we know the answer to that.
It did.
Yeah.
But interestingly, teaching was not high for me. It was more serving.
You mean in your missional result? What motivates you? What was in the service? Right. Service was your number one?
Yes, service.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That doesn't mean that you know, it should have been instruction or something like that or influence, because some teachers are motivated by influence. Some are motivated by true service. It's very personal. And so as you read your missional result, number one missional result, this is results you want to create in the world. For those who aren't familiar with the Get Clear Career Assessment, when you read service, did you feel like, yep, ding, 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 that's absolutely me?
Absolutely me, yeah.
Okay, great. So what were your top three passions, work you love?
My top three passions were caregiving, finishing, and protecting.
Caregiving, finishing, and protecting. That is very interesting. So I would not then be looking in this next chapter for true instruction jobs unless a huge portion of the instructing role really is more hands-on and truly from a caregiving nature. Like it's less A, B, C, D, E, F, G instruction. It's more, here's a couple things and show you how to do it. And it just needs a lot of patience and careful minding. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And then what's interesting is executing was high for you. You love checking boxes off the list.
Yes, I do, Ken.
Oh, did you hear that, folks? The giggle. It's the giggle of confirmation. It's a really beautiful thing to hear in people. And then protecting for you is really huge. So yes. I wonder, I mean, I'm going to throw something out here and listen to me. You've listened to the show enough and watched the show enough, Terry, that I don't mind being wrong, but I'm going to throw a suggestion out and I want you to tell me how it hits you. Okay. Knowing that you felt you were in your sweet spot for 22 years as a teacher, and yet the passion results of caregiving and executing, or finishing rather, and don't tell me, I'm gonna pull it, and protecting, that I wonder if you aren't maybe in some type of adult education, maybe for adults that have some learning challenges that would help them kind of enter into society, even though they've got some learning challenges or they're differently abled, as I like to say. How does that hit you? Because I think it's got all three in there.
Yeah, it has crossed my mind to help older people or people who just some sort of like, it's almost charity work.
Yeah, well, pull the charity out for a second, because that's your heart. And that's that missional driver of service. I'm saying, as we start to look at, you said, can I need help with, where do I pivot? I'm saying whether you are instructing or caring for in some way, I'm talking mild instruction, elderly, how about kids that maybe have Down syndrome that are in their 20s? They can be functional in society, but they don't need a ton of instruction. They need, you know, guidance and careful play. Does that make sense? Where I'm going in a general area, not so specific. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Because I think that will feed your mission of serving. But it allows you to use the experience you have as an instructor, but it's also very protective, very care driven. That's what I think. I think you need to be in a place where you are giving care, and in your caregiving, you are seeing that I am protecting someone from harm, protecting them from mistakes that they may not otherwise be able to see. Does that make sense?
It does.
Now, I'm giving you a 40,000 foot view, and here's what's cool. You have a purpose statement from your Get Clear career assessment. The reason I designed it that way is I wanted that purpose statement to be the ultimate 50,000 foot view of the world at work and go, this is a high level job description for me. And so you're not wondering, well, is this a good fit? Any job you look at the specific job description and you run it through, if you will, the filter of the purpose statement. Does that still make sense to you?
Yes.
Because then you get confirmation. And here's what you're looking for. General rule of thumb. By the way, anybody watching or listening right now that's taking the Get Clear career assessment, and you feel like, oh, I still need a little bit. Use it as the 50,000 foot view job description. Also use it as a filter and go, can I spend 75% of my day, general rule of thumb, doing what I do best, talent, doing what I love to do, passion, producing what I want to produce, mission. That's how we look at that. So it's going to open up a world of possibilities for you. But I will tell you, I don't think you need to be in traditional instruction. I think you need to be in a caregiving, protecting type of instruction, because I think that's what you love most about teaching. Is that right?
Yes.
In fact, let's just solidify this. In 30 seconds or less, I want you to take me back to a moment over 22 years of teaching where you had a beautiful moment in the classroom with a kid. It was beautiful to you. You still remember it. What was it? Give me one example.
It would have to be just when I can turn their bad day around.
That's beautiful.
When they come in and they've got a lot going on at home and I can help them to forget about it.
That's beautiful.
And to get really into something that they're doing, that
now,
we're doing.
See, that has nothing to do with teaching a math problem or a grammar problem or a science problem or a historical problem. It has nothing to do with that. That's you. So where can you still do that? What you just described to me is your new super high job description. Because by the way, that is 75,000 feet. The purpose sentence that you got out of your assessment verifies that. That's what you want to do. Turn somebody's day around by distracting them into something that may be good for them to either hear, learn, do, experience. I think that's you. How does that feel?
It feels good.
Oh, I love it, Terry. You're amazing. That's what you're looking for. And that's how the Get Clear Career Assessment works. You can get it at kencoleman.com. You can buy it in a bundle. with the From Paycheck to Purpose book, my best-selling book that walks you up the mountain once the assessment helps you identify the mountain. Hey, for our listening audience, thank you for being with us. You matter and you do have what it takes. For our viewing audience, hang on. We're going to get in the chat room and stir some stuff up and answer some questions. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.